Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chantilly Kia. Let's ride together.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Fairfax Toyota. Let's ride together.
What up, everybody? What a night for the Washington Redskins. You see them there. QBX, we figured it out. We've cracked the case. The mystery is solved. QBX has a name, and his name is Dwayne Haskins. Hope everybody got some sleep. The four of us did not. I'm going to be frank with you. J.P. Finley here, Pete Haley in the corner. We got the strong side of the offensive line and the weak side. Let's go.
So unbalanced over here.
Sir, Trevor Maddich, thank you very much for sitting in with us. This is your first. You've been on the podcast, but now you're strapping in for a full hour of podcast chicanery. So thank you very much.
And this is a rising podcast. I mean, I'm excited to be here with you guys.
We're doing what we can.
There's some shtick coming.
I want to thank the good folks, Orsman Automotive of Virginia. We ride with them. You should do the exact same thing. Fellas, the reaction from last night, I mean, we were talking about this in the newsroom a few minutes ago. All of us are giving them an A grade, right? There's no debate about what we think. I'm going to start. We'll just go around the horn. I liked the Haskins pick. I liked it. I think it's a good pick. They got him at 15. I would not have liked it if they traded up. I don't think that's somebody you go up in the draft to get. I had a scout tell me that after Kyler Murray, the three quarterbacks were good prospects, but not worth selling the farm for. I think the Redskins were smart not to do that. They played the patient game, and it worked out. What makes me love what they did last night was the Montez Sweat pick. You give up 2 second-rounders for Montez Sweat. I think that makes a ton of sense. I think he is a top 10 prospect. I think he can be the speed rusher the Redskins need. When you look at what he did at the Combine, combined with his production at Mississippi State, that to me just makes their night so, so, so good. It's an A for me. Pete.
Yeah, I mean, I loved both picks, and I think Redskins fans, whether they're going into work today or walking around campus or wherever they are, whatever people are streaming in the chemical rooms or all the pictures we've gotten, they should all be very happy with what happened.
Chemical rooms?
You know, the guy who took the selfie in, like, the lab. Wherever these people are.
Says no cameras allowed.
Yeah, no matter where Redskins fans are today, I think they should all be very happy, and I think it's because they took care.
I think you're more excited about Haskins than maybe I am.
Yeah, you're saying you like and then love. I kind of just love both because they took care of two of the most important positions in the NFL in a matter of a couple hours. And they did so by being patient, like you said, and then by being aggressive at the end of the first round. So I love both picks, and I really think it was a job well done by the Redskins.
Mr. Maddich.
Yeah, I agree more with JP. I think Haskins will help this team and be a franchise quarterback. I'm not putting it on him in game one this year. As a matter of fact, because he only started one full season at Ohio State, it may be that he'll need to work in and really be ready for 2020, although he might prove me wrong. But the addition of Montez Sweat at the 26th pick, pass rusher, out of Mississippi State, makes the first round impactful for this season. And by the way, it'll give anybody playing quarterback a better situation because he'll help hold scores down. Ryan Kerrigan has always been a very efficient pass rusher, but since he's been here, he has not had an elite game-changing edge rusher on the other side. Well, now with Montez Sweat, he runs the 40 faster than most wide receivers.
Same 40 speed. Time as RG3.
Faster than Odell did.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And by the way, he played some tight end too in high school. So, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised to see him in the red zone. He's 6'6". You know, just, hey, Montez, run down there, turn around, jump. I'll throw it up high. But this guy is a game-changing playmaker as an edge rusher, and he'll make Kerrigan and that secondary better.
He's going to make the whole back end better. You're going to talk about the safeties, the corners. They're going to love having this guy up front. You guys all are giving him an A, and I think I'm the most bullish of all of everybody.
Shocker
about
that you're the most.
It's an A plus draft for me. A plus.
It's an A plus first round.
First
Let's
round.
Slow down a little bit.
First round.
There's a lot of legwork left here. Trevor, I got to ask you something. Maybe two things, but one real quick. What is your grade on Mitch going with the top button buttoned?
It is an A plus.
Is it?
Yes, let me tell you something.
That is quite my
guy. Look at the three of us, right?
Yeah.
We are
Looks
sheep.
Good.
We are doing what everybody expects. Mitch is his own man with his own style, and he doesn't care what we say.
I like being able to breathe when I put on a dress shirt.
I also only think he does it because Chris Sims does it, and Chris Sims said he thinks it's cool.
Absolutely.
I'm not going to argue denial. That's fine.
That's what started it, and we're keeping it going.
Yeah, emulating rich guys is always important.
Well, here, good point.
Talented and successful also. Let's not forget about that.
No one emulates
me,
then. You
have to commit to it.
I have.
Sometimes you don't, dude.
I missed one stream.
It's been a little flaky. Over under at one, I'll take the over.
All right, we'll go back to the videotape.
Great. Jackson Didelake is our guy. You can comb through all the stream videos and see how often Mitch had his top button.
Mitch won the bet last night, though, with the quarterbacks.
Ah, dagger. So, Mattich, what side of this would you
have been
on?
We just skated right by that one.
I meant to bring it up. So now we're just even because you already owed me
That's fine.
Bet.
I know.
So Mitch and I had a draft bet, I guess, 2 years ago on John Ross. He said he'd be rookie of the year, go over.
No.
He said
not
over 1,000 yards.
I did say over 1,000 yards.
And
not rookie
said,
of the year.
No chance. The guy is not ready to be an NFL receiver. He's just really fast. I clearly won that bet. 2 years later, he never paid me off for that bet. So we had double or nothing last night. The bet was dinner at Caddy's, like beer and wing night.
But
so double or nothing
was
made
steak.
It to a steak dinner or nothing.
Steak and bourbon.
I had it was over under 3.5 quarterbacks.
Taken in
the first round. I had over last night. When Daniel Jones goes 6, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm in the money. I'm getting a ribeye. I'm getting muscle.
He's already starting to look up. He's already looked up. Yeah, he's ready to go.
What side would you have been on about the quarterbacks last night? You think 4 were going to go? Were you surprised by Drew Lock slipping?
I think 4 would have gone because I thought Miami was going to take a quarterback. I mean, they need a quarterback.
Right.
And they went defensive line with that 13th pick. And as soon as they did that, you knew that for real, Dwayne Haskins was going to drop down to 15 to the Redskins. But I would have gone with you, assuming that because there were so many teams there that were so quarterback needy, that would have been 4 taken.
So
it was you two. It was the entire Twitterverse.
Well, I just want to prove
everybody
that
thought
I was
that it was going to
right
be
side of the bet. Sometimes the bet just doesn't hit.
Of course,
I didn't lose the bet.
I thought 5
you
quarterbacks.
Lost, no, you lost.
I
the
was
bet.
On the right side of the
you
were, bet.
You might
the
you bet. Might feel like you were on the right the side, but you still lost the bet.
I was on the right side.
You
lost
know what? You should have had a sweetener to the bet that he also has to not only buy you a steak and bourbon dinner, but button his top button.
That'll be the next draft, or if we come up with something creative,
we'll come up
tonight,
with something
Ashburn,
good.
We'll see.
All right, well, we got a lot of time.
All right, yeah, we do. Nothing happened in the whole second round. Let's do this. Offensively, defensively, how much better does Montez Sweat make the Redskins defense week one, right away?
If he pans out like I think he will, and it's never a guarantee.
Sure.
He might flame out.
Of course.
I doubt it. Then he makes the Redskins, he changes everything about the Redskins pass rush. Everything. Because he is not just fast. I mean, that 4.440, he gets it into his initial pass rush. He breaks down offensive tackles pass set from the very first step, and then the second step, because the second one's a really long stride. Now he's got the ability to bend to get around the corner. Now, if you're most left tackles, you're scared to death every time it's third and long. And that also opens everything up for Ryan Kerrigan, because now you're probably going to have to chip or double Sweat.
And they got those horses in the middle.
Right, that's what I was going to say.
Ioannidis. I think Tim Settle has a much bigger year. So we don't need to dig in for consensus here. Let's say the Redskins' 2018 defense was a C+, B-. Does that sound about right for where they were?
I think C+, about C-plus, sums it up well. Yeah.
You can't get a stop on Blaine Gabbert when you need to get into the
playoffs.
Right, you're not getting a B.
Exactly.
So we're at a C+. Montez Sweat can make them what, Pete?
I think Montez Sweat and Landon Collins can elevate them together to like a B+.
Collins is a good point.
I think
Reuben Foster.
Yeah, the front seven is so young and so talented. I'm still a little bit worried about the secondary. But like Trevor said, when you have Sweat and Kerrigan and the interior pressure getting to those guys, the secondary doesn't have to work as well. So I think
Darryl Green said his favorite players were the big guys up front.
Yeah.
Made him
Josh
up.
Norman said that last year. Remember leading up to the draft, he was yelling about getting SEC.
On Twitter was all
yeah,
over.
Yeah, they all wanted these SEC horses up front.
I think it goes from C+ to B+. You hope the run defense can work a little bit better than it did in the second half of the year, but the pass rush right now looks like it can be top flight.
I think it goes from a C+. I agree with Pete, probably a B+, but it has the upside of an A.
Of course.
I think there's a lot of upside here.
I agree. Yep. A lot of young talent.
But what will take it from a B+ to an A is the development of those young defensive backs. They've got Greg Stroman, a whole bunch of young DBs back there. Fabian Moreau.
I think Adonis is the guy you need to step up. If he has the most tools physically.
Whoever that other second safety
needs to be figured out.
If those guys step up a notch with the improved pass rush, that defense could go from B+ to an A.
And you need Quentin Dunbar healthy for,
right,
you'd like 16 games, but at least more than half of the year. If he can get that nerve issue taken care of, I think that'll help a lot. There's a stat from our guy Goldberg. He used to be our statistician. Now he's up doing Good Morning Football. Goldberg has blown up. He's very good at what he does. That stat is just nuts, that Montez Sweat had the same 40 time as RG3, a guy who's considered one of the fastest quarterbacks ever.
I want to reiterate the next-gen stat.
Sure.
Montez Sweat, 19.4 miles per hour in the first 10 yards of his rush of the quarterback at the Senior Bowl.
Mm.
That's almost as fast as Tyreek.
I don't even drive that fast. Like, I'm a very nervous driver.
You started driving faster, though. As you're blossoming now, Pete,
yeah,
and you're going out all the time and spending all your money and flying to Michigan.
Yeah.
Or driving to Michigan.
You're now driving faster.
I did blow by you on the highway yesterday.
Yeah, I heard about you blowing by him on the highway.
I was on a work call. I was talking to our bosses.
Right.
I was also eating a bag of ham.
Yeah, your driving habits need some work.
I didn't want to be...
You were focused, and you just said you're eating a bag of ham while driving.
He brings bags
of food. I think that doesn't really add up.
There's no carbs in a bag of ham.
Wait a minute.
What does that have to do with
ham sandwich? I get.
Well, that's
a
got
a bag of ham.
A good old bag of ham.
What's the bag made out of?
Plastic. Throw that. I throw that right in the Chesapeake Bay. I'm not worried about that.
That's disgusting.
We talk about chicken salad and hard-boiled eggs a few days ago in a bag.
What do you do? Squirt mustard into the bag and then reach in there?
Remember we did ham and cheese with no bread one time in a bag?
I reach into the bag of ham, I pull out a slice of ham, and I just eat it.
I'm going to throw up. This is disgusting.
While driving.
But then you got ham juice all over your hands.
Driving the wheel is so gross.
Frank and Benji, I'm like, hey, sorry, guys, I'm eating. And I feel like they were like, what?
Yeah.
I am never going to borrow your car because I'll put my hands on the steering wheel. It'll have ham goop.
Yeah. I brought a T-bone steak.
He ate a T-bone steak off of a plastic bag last night.
The Redskins draft was an A. JP's steak. Meals were about a D- last right. night.
Much for fine china at your house.
No. My wife won't let me take any of the silverware or
shocker.
Plates.
I'm so shocked.
She thinks
shocked.
I'm going to lose them.
We've seen what happened to your computer when you take it out of the office.
No,
so now
the computer broke of its own volition. That you are not putting that hate on me. That computer died.
Ricky Bobby.
All right? I take good care of computers. Let's do the letter grade for the offense because we got to hear from Dwayne Haskins and Montez Sweat last night. I want to go to both of those. This one's going to be a little trickier. The Redskins offense last year is a D. They were bad. They didn't fail because they were able to win some games. They ran the ball a little bit in times. I'm saying D for the Redskins 2018 offense. Does anybody want to argue one way or the other?
No. I mean, D+ maybe if you want to be a little nicer. But
big asterisk by that, though.
Right.
With Alex?
Yes.
Well, with Alex,
Sheriff?
More than that with the guards.
Yeah.
They ended up playing, I think, four different guards. A couple of them were signed off the street a couple of weeks before they even started.
And then those guys got hurt.
Right.
Right. And so there is an asterisk there. They played hard. There was no lazy there. But the performance went way downhill when they started putting guys off of the grocery line into the starting position.
So we'll
inside.
Go D+ to or D asterisk, right?
Yeah.
Dwayne Haskins this season changes the Redskins offense to what? I'm going to start with you, Trevor. Because I don't know that it jumps up that much.
I don't think until further notice, he doesn't. Because he is a guy that I think they'll need to bring along kind of slowly. He might light everything up in training camp, in the preseason games, and they might say he's ready now. But it's more likely that since he only had 1 year as a starter at Ohio State, that they'll bring him along slowly. They'll put him in the second quarter with a series or two, early in games in the regular season. Let him build up to where he proves he's ready to go.
Where does he most need to build up?
It's the mental side.
Yeah. The ability to read defenses and just the speed of the NFL.
But that's a good question because at Ohio State, he was doing more pro-style concepts than they've done there for a long time. JT Barrett was a running back with an arm and one of the greatest careers of any Big Ten quarterback in the history of that conference, the guy that Haskins took over for. Haskins is a completely different guy, and the offense put in a whole bunch of pro-style stuff where he didn't just read one side of the field, he'd read sideline to sideline. Now, that's like going from junior college to Oxford, going from college to the NFL doing that, but he showed that what he was given in college, he was able to master mentally. Now we have to see if he can take the next step. I think he can, but we need to see it.
Well, and to that point, we had a clip from our I Am the Prospect series that you can catch on the My Teams app, which is really cool, especially now that Haskins has landed with the Redskins. But Urban Meyer explained that Ohio State changed up their offense for Haskins. They made it more pro-style because in the past, I mean, you talk about Barrett, you talk about Braxton Miller before him. I mean, the offense was designed for running QBs. Haskins ain't running. So they had to switch it up a bit, and it was more pro style, but it still wasn't an NFL offense. It was still shallow crosses, jet sweeps, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
Quick slants, yeah.
And things happen faster here. I mean, this was part of the issue with RG3 when he was here. He could stand up in front of the whiteboard and answer every question correctly. But when he got onto the field, it took him about 1.8 to 2 seconds to decipher what was happening in front of him. Well, the ball's got to be gone in 2.2. You have to recognize and decide within about a second and a half or less. And that extra half second is one thing that made it difficult for him to be able to get all of his talent onto the field. So it's not about intelligence. RG3 is one of the most intellectually brilliant people
like
that I've met.
All that.
Yeah. But there's a knack for that quick processing at quarterback. And Haskins showed it at the college level. Now he's got to show that he can up it in the NFL level.
One spot I think Haskins will be ahead of Griffin is pre-snap. I think from conversations I had with Jay Gruden, honestly, talked to him last night and then some other scouts, and then just what I believe from Haskins, there was a clip that went viral on Twitter of Dan Orlovsky working with, oh, geez, this RG3 tweet. We got to get
this was
that
something
else.
Yeah.
That was something else. But I believe Haskins is going to be able to identify more pre-snap that maybe will help speed things up. For me, going from a D to where that's going to go depends more on Brandon Scherff, on Paul Richardson being healthy, on Darius Geis being healthy.
I think it depends on upgrading at guard, upgrading at wide receiver. I think it depends more on what happens in the rest of
the
upgrades
ain't coming at this point, Mitch. We're going to get to it in the back half of the show. Adding, sure, but
adding.
You're talking third, fourth, fifth round picks. I don't know that we can call any of these guys an upgrade anymore.
I think
at left guard.
At guard, certainly.
Pete would be an upgrade.
You haven't seen me run block, Trevor. It's bad.
I've seen you drop anchor, though. You can hold your...
I can drop a mean anchor. When my anchor drops, nothing else moves behind it.
I don't want to see you.
Pete, what happened when you rushed the quarterback in...
I got dropped.
You got dropped.
Yeah. All Mitch right. can drop a mean
before,
anchor.
Before we go into who's dropping anchor anymore, we got to talk to Dwayne Haskins last night. Dwayne Haskins had a big old draft party, a well-earned big old draft party. They were at a
bowling
alley up in Gaithersburg. Our Julie Donaldson was up there. I believe we have group availability when he's talking to a lot of reporters. Let's hear what he has to say.
Before the draft, I've always been doubted ever since I was a little kid. And I mean, the biggest thing for me is just keep getting better. And I've done that at every level I played at. So, you know, the expectations are high for me, and I want them to be higher. So I'm excited.
Dan Snyder sat in your meeting at the combine. What was your interaction with him like?
He asked me, do I remember his son? And I said, yeah. So I probably did a good job answering that question. That's probably why he picked me. Yeah. So he's a great guy.
When you've met with the Redskins, what were some of those conversations like?
Coach Gruden's a great guy. Coach Connell's a great guy. And Coach Rete. And spent some time there on my visit. I loved it. They show a lot of interest in me. And they think I'm going to be a really special player. So I'm really excited about it.
What have the conversations been like with Jay Gruden?
He's a different dude. He's funny. We spent some time getting some steak and met his son. And I'm just excited to be with Coach, and he's going to do a great job grooming me. And, I'm really just excited, really.
Do you have any relationships with any of the guys on the Redskins already established?
Don't really know too many of the other players, but, you know, I'm looking forward to it.
Do you already have an idea of how many tickets you're going to need at home games?
I get 2 tickets, and that's what I get. I'll see you at home. Yeah. But I got to answer this phone call. The Redskins are calling me.
Congratulations.
I loved that answer. It was a great question from Julie about the tickets because you do have to wonder about that. You got a local guy that's going to be playing professional football. Can that be a distraction for him? But I look at these stats, and there was so much hand-wringing yesterday. There was a report that Dan Snyder was taking over the draft. I reported that was not correct. I shouted everywhere I could that the Redskins were not trading up for Dwayne Haskins. Nobody wanted to listen to me, but I shouted it on the radio. I shouted it on the podcast. I shouted it on television.
I couldn't tell if you're just shouting or if what you're saying was true.
Right, when you shout all the time, it loses a little bit of its luster.
I'm not talking ham. I'm talking sourced information. It's a little different. I was told by three different people in the front office they weren't trading up. And to the point where I had one guy text me when we got done with our stream yesterday at Redskins Park. Trevor, you know the setup there. We were about 15 yards from the gym where they work out looking over the practice fields. One of the front office guys is on the
elliptical or whatever.
Elliptical, and he sees us doing our show. As soon as we get done, I get a text. I look at my phone. Alert, alert, Redskins trading up to number one. And I look up and he's just dying. Because those guys are so sick of the reports that are just inaccurate.
Right.
They played the patient game, they waited for Dwayne Haskins. There was a very legitimate debate if they traded up for Haskins that it would have been a bad move.
It would have been a horrific move.
At 15, though, the pick you have, you can absolutely make the case that this was the right quarterback to take.
Yeah. The thing is, I don't think you should be taking a quarterback in the top half of the first round anyway.
Well, and you said
at 15,
that for
you're
years.
Splitting hairs. But here's why. You need an elite quarterback in order to get
specific to Haskins. That's your
stance
for a long time.
Generally speaking, that's right. Because for every Andrew Luck, There's somebody that's going to...
Blaine Gabbert.
Right.
RG3.
DeMarcus Russell.
And the classic pair is...
RG3 is way better than Blaine Gabbert and DeMarcus Russell.
Certainly.
Right. But, I mean, you're going to look at... And right now, we've got a pair with Haskins and Daniel Jones.
Sure.
Now, maybe both of them will excel. History is that one of them will and one of them won't. I mean, that's just the way it is with quarterbacks. But it's not that you don't need an elite quarterback. You do. But if you go back to the last 10 Super Bowls, and you look at all the starting quarterbacks in those 10 Super Bowls, count everybody once, so you only count Brady one time, Peyton Manning one time. You've got seven of those starting quarterbacks that were drafted in the top half of the first round, six in the bottom half of the first round, or not in the first round at all. You had just as good a chance of having a Super Bowl starting quarterback in the last decade if you didn't take your quarterback in the top half of the first round. And so trading up farther into it, to me, is just raising the cost of what amounts to a 50-50 split.
Well, even if you look around the league right now at who you would consider elite quarterbacks, Rodgers, Roethlisberger are first-rounders, but Rodgers is second half of the first round.
Right. Right.
I mean, Russ Wilson, depending on how you want to grade
that. And you have Philip and Eli Rivers who are up at the top.
Sure, I mean, Rivers and Eli Manning.
There are guys up there. There are guys.
Drew Brees was second-rounder of the Chargers.
Yeah.
Right.
Tom Brady's obviously the most outlier of examples.
Yeah,
that's why we only count him once, though, because he's in every Super Bowl every year. So count him once.
Right.
And Russ Wilson.
I'm just saying the guy, Mahomes, they traded up to get him.
Colin Kaepernick was there with the 49ers. He started in the Super Bowl. And by the way, I'm including Philadelphia. Flacco was 18th. So that's splitting hairs also.
Including around that spot. Or Wentz.
I counted Wentz as top half of the first round. I didn't count Philadelphia when they won the Super Bowl as Nick Foles being a lower drafted guy because Wentz would have been there had he not been hurt and Wentz played for most of that season. So I'm giving the benefit of the doubt to the higher drafting teams. And yet it's still a 50-50 split. You need a quarterback playing at that elite level. You don't have to get him at the top.
All that said, I'm not going to knock Haskins at 50.
Yeah, I think this year they
needed. It's a guy with a lot of potential. They obviously need a quarterback. I mean, obviously. I reported last night, you can read, Robert Klemko has a story on it this morning. Once Kyler Murray officially got drafted by the Cardinals, the Redskins were interested in Josh Rosen. That's something we've thought for a long time. It happened. They made a call. The Cardinals completely botched Josh Rosen situation. I mean, just... I don't know how Steve Keim is keeping his job right now. You trade up for a guy last year. Now you got to have to dump him.
You got a new head coach last year. You fired him after 1 year.
John Keim needs to talk to his brother and ask him what he's doing out in Arizona.
Things aren't going well out there in the desert.
I know you liked Bradbury. I know the picks could have gone a different way, and maybe you take Jared Stidham late or Will Greer or whoever your choice is. I think it's okay to take Haskins. What would you have thought about going for Rosen, taking Sweat at 15, and then having more picks later?
I would have liked that a lot. But at the same time, I like Haskins too. I think Haskins long-term will be a franchise quarterback here as long as he stays focused on what he needs to do to be a quarterback here. Not a celebrity here, not a community, you know, personality, but a quarterback. And I like the way he answered the question about the tickets. It's like, well, he didn't say, well, I have lots of family and friends and we'll try to accommodate them. No, he said, nope, I got two tickets. I'll see you at home. Cut it off right there. He's focused on being a quarterback. And that's what I like. You're right about the Cardinals, though. They botched it badly. Giants needed a quarterback. Redskins needed a quarterback. They would have been.
You still have the Dolphins, Bengals. They're teams that didn't go QB.
But now you got the Dolphins, the Bengals, and the Broncos. But you lose two teams that drafted quarterbacks in the top 15 that would have been in that sweepstakes competing and bidding for Josh Rosen. Now the pool gets smaller and those guys know it.
The compensation they're going to get for Rosen, and they can say as much as they want that they're not going to trade him, they're going to trade him. You're not.
You can't go into the season
with both of them. I don't even think you go into OTAs with both of them.
It's so unhealthy to have Rosen and Murray going together.
We saw RG3 and Kirk in the same locker room.
Yeah. Such a toxic way to run things.
Did you hear the story about how Rosen found out about Kyler?
The agent called him
as they were showing Kyle on the phone.
The agent as they were showing Kyler.
As they were showing Kyler on TV, getting the phone call. Like they waited till the last. They just botched it.
I bet Rosen
the whole thing.
It's
unbelievable.
Grade A botch. So I believe we're all in agreement here. Haskins is a long-term play, and the Redskins need a long-term option at quarterback. I don't know, but I don't believe he'll be your week one starter unless he's really impressive in training camp. I don't think that push, that pressure to force him to be the week one starter is coming. A lot of things can change. It's April. Football ain't happening until August. Haskins is the long-term play. Montez Sweat is not. Montez Sweat will be playing week one. He might be starting. Maybe there's a timeshare with Ryan Anderson. We'll see. I got to catch up with Montez Sweat last night. I was sitting with Larry Michael at the Redskins Nation studio, and we were able to talk to him during DC Sports Live. I was really impressed with the now Redskins rookie out of Mississippi State.
How does it feel to be a Washington Redskin?
It feels great, man. It feels great. Dream come true.
You know, one former teammate of yours, but an alum from Mississippi State, a guy by the name of Fred Smoot, has been saying for 2 months now, the Redskins need to draft Montez Sweat. Here you are. Did this surprise you tonight?
Man, God makes no mistakes. It's no surprise about where I'm at. I kept on telling myself the whole draft, God wasn't going to make no mistakes about where I was going, so not a surprise at all.
Montez, let's talk a little bit about your journey to this moment. You started up north at Michigan State. You finished your college career in Starkville at Mississippi State. There was talk of you going top five, top 10. You end up going to the Redskins at 26. How do you feel you landed here, and how ready are you to show everyone else they really missed out?
I'm ready to show everybody that they missed out big time, man. They messed up for real, man, but God put me where he wanted me to be, man, and I'm going to take care of business.
Tell us how you found out you were drafted by the Redskins. Kind of go over a little bit of how your night went, culminating with the phone call you got from the team.
Man, I'm at Top Golf at my draft party, man. The picks was going by and by and by. After it got to the 20s, man, I had to step outside. I was actually really thinking about leaving my draft party, man, and the Redskins called me, man, and it changed everything. My whole attitude changed, man. And I'm just ready to show people, show the pass rush they passed up on, man.
Montez, who called you from the Redskins, and what was it like hearing that news?
I talked to everybody in the Redskins facility, man, the owner, from the linebacker coach to the head coach, man. I talked to everybody.
Hey, Montez, how familiar are you with some of the SEC players that are on the Redskins defense? Obviously, you know there's a lot of SEC players on this defense.
Oh, most definitely, man. I know they like to go get SEC guys, particularly from Bama, man. I know they got Haskins, man. I know they got Deron Payne, man. I know they had a former alumni, Preston Smith, from Mississippi State that I'm very familiar with also, man. I'm just ready to step in and take care of business.
And what's it like now that you're an NFL player? Just what are the emotions going through? How hard is it just to process all this information?
Man, it's a lot, man. It's a lot going through my head, man. I'm just happy to be in this position, man. I work so hard to get here, man. And the work doesn't stop now, man. It's just starting.
We'll get a chance to meet you this weekend, I'm sure. What do you want Redskins fans to know about Montez Sweat as a football player? What type of football player did the Redskins get here tonight?
The Redskins got a relentless, tenacious, fast, long football player, man. That's exactly what they got. A person that's not going to stop to the ball on the ground.
Relentless and tenacious. What about the speed? Your combine numbers were just crazy. Do people understand exactly what you can do, both rushing the passer and maybe in coverage as a 3-4 outside linebacker?
I don't think they understand yet, but they're going to find out real soon.
Man. Hey, what are you most excited about? Obviously, a lifetime of work is culminated in you being drafted by the Washington Redskins. You will be in the National Football League. What are you looking forward to the most?
Man, I'm just looking forward to pursuing my dream, man. It's always been a dream playing in the NFL, man. And the Redskins got me, man. So I'm going to give my all to that organization. Plain and simple, man.
Plain and simple. Montez, congratulations on a very well-earned night. And let me ask you this, and you might have to run, I'm not sure. Will you approach your rookie season with a bit of a chip on your shoulder, considering that you probably dropped in the further in the first round than you expected?
It's the biggest, it's the biggest chip on my shoulder. I mean, I've always played with a chip on my shoulder. I've always came from the bottom of grinding, man, but the biggest chip is on my shoulder that you'll ever know right now, man. So most definitely, I definitely got a lot of 25 more teams to prove wrong that they passed up on me, that I was definitely that best player on the board. Most definitely, it's a big chip on my shoulder.
Like the way that sounds. We'll see you when you get here, Montez. You're now a Redskin.
Congratulations.
Thank you, man.
Most definitely, there's a big chip on my shoulder. We've all given the Redskins praise for their first round actions. Will Blackman, friend of the podcast and certainly an analyst that knows what he's talking about over at NFL Network, says, good job, Redskins. Good effing job. Hashtag HTTR. We talked about Haskins for a while. I think Sweat deserves as much attention. This is a guy that had over 20 sacks in the last 2 years at Mississippi State, 30 tackles for loss. We've talked about the athleticism. Let's specifically, what are fair predictions or expectations for Montez Sweat in this 3-4 system as a rookie coming in, where he's probably going to have to learn some different stuff? Pete, as the guy that's most studying how fans reacted on Twitter and stuff, what do you think fans are expecting? What are you expecting from Montez?
Fans are obviously expecting big things because they know how he'll pair with Kerrigan. So I think they're looking for 8, 9, 10 sacks. But the thing I'm interested to see in terms of development, you asked him in that interview, is how do you think you'll be working as a cover linebacker? And Trevor, I kind of want to ask you, as a guy who's watched a lot of college football, does having that 4-4 speed just translate immediately to being a cover guy? Or what kind of tools is also necessary for Sweat to become better in space? We know he can help as a pass rusher, but how will he do in other duties as a linebacker?
No, the speed doesn't really translate at all.
Right.
If you don't have speed, you can't do it.
Especially because it's a straight line.
But just because you're fast doesn't mean you can't. Now, he's good at bending the corner. He's fluid. He's got fluid hips. I think he'll be really good in space. Partly also because he's so long. At 6'6", he'll be able to reach out and make up a space between himself and the receiver just by reaching his hand out there and tipping it away. Greedy Williams, the LSU corner, is long. He does that same kind of a thing. So I think he'll be able to cover well enough in space.
Okay.
Certainly he will be vastly better at everything he does than the guy who started in that position last year for the Redskins, Preston Smith.
That's what I was going to say. The expectation for me, be better than Preston Smith.
Mm-hmm.
He should be drafted earlier. He should be better, but do more than he did. Be more productive.
Fans, consistently productive, too.
That's exactly where I want to go.
Consistency.
Preston Smith showed a lot of ability in flashes.
Right.
Short
flashes.
Yeah.
He got a ton of sacks.
Not even in full game.
But a lot of those sacks, he was unblocked, or he was well blocked, and somebody else flushed the quarterback to where he was being blocked.
Or he was playing Sam Bradford.
Now, once in a while, he would show an amazing... Yeah, Sam Bradford. Yeah, you should take him with him, right?
Yes.
But he showed some terrific moves here and there. Where we're watching the game, it's like, whoa, look at that move Preston just threw. And then nothing.
There were questions of consistency. I'm not going to say effort, but bringing it play after play, rather than maybe saving yourself for other situations. Do you think we'll see any of that from Montez Sweat?
No, I think, like he said, he has a chip on his shoulder. And I think he'll go gangbusters here.
Well, and you've watched, I'm guessing you've watched plenty of Bulldog tape. You know what this kid did down there.
Yes.
Were there ever inconsistent play-to-play effort issues?
I never noticed that. Okay. Now, I did notice that with other guys. Rashawn Gary, who Green Bay drafted,
when
I believe,
right? You're told you're the number one football player in the country for 4 years before you even get to college. That was my issue with Rashawn Gary. He had never developed. He was told he's the best there is in high school and just kind of kept it going.
Now, he played with a bit of a shoulder his last season last year. But all through his career there, I'm watching him on tape. I'm trying to find plays I could use in a breakdown about great things that he did. And finally, I'm just taking too much time finding anything at all that happened.
Remember the hype on him going to Michigan? Montez Sweat is not that guy.
No. Montez Sweat will give you better. But you talk about expectations for Montez Sweat. My expectations are not for his numbers. I mean, he'll have numbers. That'll be fine. My expectations are Ryan Kerrigan is going to get more sacks. And the guys inside, Daron Payne, Jonathan Allen, and even Matt Ioannidis, who's really good at pushing the pile into the quarterback's face, those guys will get more sacks because Sweat will either flush the quarterback into them or they'll have to devote a running back or a tight end or extra blocking to Sweat so he doesn't get that corner on the tackle.
I want to see more picks in the back end. That's what I want to see. I want to see Sweat get to the quarterback. I want to see the
balls
front seven get to the quarterback.
That's such a great point.
Get rid of the ball quickly. Let those guys go make plays.
Turnovers happen. Well, takeaways happen. Mostly when you pressure the quarterback. Because then he throws the ball errantly.
Right.
You might
quickly.
You might
rush.
Tip it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't recognize what the coverage is yet, and they're doing something tricky, but he doesn't see it because here comes the rush.
Right.
Or strip sack fumble. Right?
Yep.
Those kinds of things. You want more takeaways on defense. The way to start is get to the quarterback. And this makes everything about the defense so much better. I can't wait to see this.
You talk about strip sack fumbles. His wingspan is in the 99th percentile, getting that reach around the edge. And you're talking about Kerrigan gets you that sack once a week, but the game-changing plays, Sweat could be a guy who gets to the quarterback, knocks that ball out, and sets up the offense on a short field.
We have got to take a really quick break, but we've been all draft all the time. I don't know that we've gotten your reaction, Trevor, and let's do this quickly if we can, to the Matt Ioannidis contract extension. I thought it was a really smart move by the Redskins front office.
Not glamour, but critical foundation. Matt Ioannidis makes piles, which is important, which allows everybody else to go. But he also, like we said a minute ago, he pushes the pile. I mean, you look at his stats.
Per snap
sacks.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when you look at pressures on the quarterback, forget about sacks. People think about you've got to sack the quarterback to be a good pass rusher. You have to affect the quarterback. Make him move his feet. Make it so that he can't step into a throw. Ioannidis does all of those things and never says a word. Plus, he looks like the king from the movie 300. So,
the Greek god of sex.
Good.
Greek,
yeah.
God of sex.
All right. We have to take a really quick break. These two have been kind of beating me up. They want to talk about offensive linemen that are still available.
You better believe it.
There's a lot more draft to come. Right now, the Redskins don't have a second-round pick, but they have two third-round picks. Guard, wide receiver, tight end, safety. They still need a lot. We're going to go in-depth with the encyclopedia of college football that is Trevor Maddich to figure out who the Redskins should be targeting in the third round and if they should trade up to the second round. Coming right back.
On the football field, the action happens in the blink of an eye. It's like that off the field, too, when you've been injured. In a split second, your life is changed. Whether on the field or in the courtroom, when you've been injured, you need the right teammates by your side. You need Chase and Boscolo, a law firm willing to protect and fight for your rights. On the football field or in the courtroom, having the right team determines whether you win or lose. When injuries change your life, call Chase and Boscolo, trial lawyers that care.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Let's ride together.
That music is so good.
I love it.
All right, speaking of love, Redskins Community Relations, they do great work, and this Loads of Love program has just been tremendous. Big credit to Nick Sundberg. He is matching all donations to the Loads of Love program up to $25,000 through May 15th. So now is the time. If you want to help out with Loads of Love, now is the time to make a donation because you're taking money out of Sundberg's pocket. We know Nick pretty well here. We got to talk to him yesterday. He is really excited about how much this program has grown. This was an idea between Nick and his wife that has taken off. They want 100 new Loads of Love sites. We were just talking about this in the break. Loads of Love, they go into impoverished communities and they put washer dryers in schools. It sounds so simple, but the results show that if kids have a steady place to clean their clothing, to come day after day, they know they can wear clean clothes to school, makes them better students, better people, more apt to graduate from high school, more apt to go to college. It's remarkable what a simple act like just doing laundry and wearing clean clothes, the type of impact that can have across the country, across our region here in the DMV. This is something to support. Trevor, we just kind of told you about it. What's your reaction to a program that simple that can make that big of a reach?
It doesn't surprise me that Nick Sundberg is involved. I mean, he's a football player, one of the best long snappers in the league, but he's a Renaissance man. He travels the world, he thinks big, and this is an outside-the-box thinking solution. Instead of saying, hey, we'll just donate some more money, we'll do it. He asked questions, his wife, they ask questions.
Flora is great, too. She's a huge part of this.
A huge part of it, and she's critical to it. Key being that when there's a problem, don't just look at it from a helicopter and say, well, there's a problem. Let's just dump a solution on it. Find out what the problem is. Ask some more questions. Dig deeper. Find out from the kids. Find out what's needed. And asking those questions is what led to this. And I love it that they're so far outside the box with a solution that seems to make so much sense. But why wasn't it thought of before?
Indeed. It's a great program. We are happy to support it. I know the organization here, NBC Sports Washington, is happy to support it. And it's tough because we can't twist his arm because he's working back from the back surgery. We're hoping to have Sundberg on Redskins 100 next week. So stay
definitely
in studio. That I told him he has to come in here in Bethesda, and that Mitch would buy us all beers afterwards. So we'll see.
He's a little hesitant about what he's going to wear.
Okay, I'll do that.
He wanted to know if he could wear a tank top. I said, sure.
Oh, Chad, I think we should all do tank tops at that point.
It's tank top
or all top buttons, one or the other.
No.
Definitely not.
Let's talk about Friday night, because there's still a lot of draft left. There's Friday. There's a whole Saturday afternoon.
One round down, six to go.
Right, exactly. Because of the Montez Sweat trade, the Redskins no longer have a second-round pick. Quick thumbs up or thumbs down, I'm okay with it.
Totally fine. You got totally two third-rounders. You can be okay.
No thumbs up, you're just going to sit there?
I don't know. Maybe my hands just not
working.
We all
did thumbs up, and you just didn't do it.
Okay, two thumbs up now.
It's a verbal thumbs up.
All right. Yep. Two thumbs up. Yeah, they cut away during the thumbs up portion. All right, here we go.
Thumbs up.
Yay.
That said, we were talking about this in the newsroom. There's a lot of talent left, especially offensive linemen, early for you two.
You know I'm excited.
Before we dig into who is a real option in the third round, because there's guys that I have my eye on, a guy like Juan Thornhill, who we did the I Am the Prospect series on, some of these ODU guys, it'll be interesting if they get more local prospects. What do you think the Redskins should do if your guy McCoy or Cody Ford, one of these really good offensive linemen, is available? Should they trade back into the second round? They do have two third-round picks.
Historically, your offensive linemen to come in as a rookie and start and give you good quality starting reps are guys taken in the first and second round. You get guys later in the draft that'll do that, but it's much more rare. I think the Eric McCoy, center out of Texas A&M, and Cody Ford, tackle guard out of Oklahoma, are the two guys that remain that could plug in a left guard right now and start. Now, there are some guys in the third round we can talk about that have a chance to, but it's riskier. And if one of those two guys is there in the second round, I think it would so improve this offense by getting that left guard position solidified, either by drafting a guy to play there or drafting a guy to play center and let Roulier move to guard.
So that I wanted to ask, so would it be McCoy at center and move Roulier over?
That's what I would do, because I think Mike McCoy at center is your long-term solution.
What does it cost to get up there?
Well,
let's just look at The big stacks of talent in this second round are going to be at wide out and corner. I think Definitely. There's going to be runs on both of those quickly. I think McCoy and Ford go quick, but if they drop maybe to where the Skins were supposed to pick at 46, what does it cost them to go up and get that?
It might cost them.
Taylor still there?
There was a talk of a knee injury for Juwan Taylor late last night.
Reisner, there's a lot of linemen.
There are a lot
still
of good O-linemen still there.
Juwan Taylor out of Florida, he's getting interesting as he falls. The thing is, there's a knee issue, they say. That's fine. But he also has other issues just as a player that make me not want to take him in the first round. But now you get into the second and third round, it becomes more interesting.
Your value gets there.
Yeah, the
what
value gets better. But it's risky. If it costs them both third-round picks to go up high enough to get Eric McCoy.
You do it?
Or really Cody Ford. I think I do. What? I think I do. Because then what do you have? You've got your quarterback of the future. You have a game-breaking pass rusher, edge rusher. And then you've got a solid guy that can play center or guard in the case of McCoy, or guard or tackle in the case of Ford, that immediately will start at left guard.
That's an
important.
Offensive line that's always getting banged up.
Right.
It's important. You've got to get guys that
And that's
can
still
move
three players in the first three rounds. It's not like you're shorting yourself.
That's right. And the thing is, Cody Ford played tackle at Oklahoma, but he's projected as a guard at this level. But if Morgan Moses has injuries,
right,
Ford can kick back out as a swing tackle.
Do you like both
no
of those
here.
Guys more than Jerron Christian?
Somebody
who's on the roster?
I think Jerron Christian is, bless his heart, a wonderful guy. He came in with a body that was not nearly ready physically in terms of strength to play at this level. He has the athletic ability and the movement skills to play tackle.
But he's also only a tackle.
Yeah, I don't see him as a guard.
Can't really move inside, so you don't really have a whole lot of versatility with him.
But until he gets his physical strength up to NFL levels, he won't be able to play in this league. Now, this offseason is the one that he needs to do that and prove it. So.
But he's working back from a knee injury.
Here's someone I want to ask you about. Eric Flowers is a guy that they signed off the street, and they're maybe thinking about experimenting with him at guard. Do you think he could fit there, or would you rather them try and get a third or fourth rounder?
Have opinion on that? I don't know how
Let's have an Eric Flowers discussion. Yeah. You guys toss it around over there.
I don't love it. I don't think that he's going to be able to he couldn't play tackle at all in New York. I don't know that he's going to be able to step in and play inside here in D.C. I think he might be a good depth guy.
Be
he might
quicker be, on the inside, right? I don't know.
I mean, he was just getting beat like a drum around the outside every time and then jacked up when he would try and beat the edge rushers out there to get to him. So to me, I don't know that he's going to be able to add a whole lot in D.C.
He didn't get better from his rookie year to his fourth year. He just didn't get better. The thing about playing guard is that you're right, it's quicker, but also you don't have to move as much in space, and if you lack mobility, you can hide that a little bit. To me, it'll be all about whether or not he's got the Junior Gallet mentality. Gallet came in here, had a severe leg injury, and the Redskins gave him a chance to prove that he can come back, he can be healthy, he can put some personal problems behind him, and he wanted to prove to everybody that he could be that elite player that he felt he could be, and he worked hard. Nobody worked harder than Junior Gallet to come back and to prove that. His body failed him.
Yeah.
But it's that attitude that Flowers has to have. If he has that Junior Gallet attitude to prove to everybody that he will work harder than everybody to show that he belongs in this league, then I think he can be a good upgrade for them at left guard. If he does not have that attitude, then he won't make the team.
This is probably his last chance, third team. Good all-line coach, good offensive lineman around him. If it doesn't work here, then it probably won't ever work.
I think he realizes the fact that he's the 10th overall pick as a tackle, where the money is, that is now going to try to convert to a guard.
He knows it's the end of the line for him a little bit.
He's got to get into the bottom of his chances. Let's turn from the strong side of our line.
Ooh.
Pete, you wrote a story on the My Teams app this morning or maybe last night.
Yeah, it's all blending together at this point.
Yeah, when you don't sleep, it's just one long day.
Time is nothing.
It's a flat circle.
That the biggest priority needs to be adding receivers for Dwayne Haskins and really just for the offense. Case Keenum, they need help at receiver. I believe I had a really good tweet from somebody showing me that there's really still 11 strong wide receiver prospects left. Trevor and I both really like the kid Arcega Whiteside out of Stanford. Yep. I think maybe he gets to the third round. I like Hakeem Butler.
Same.
I think there are third round picks. Is there a guy that you want them to go up in the second round to get? Because I'll tell you, it's not DK Metcalf for me. I know there are folks that want that. What did your story say? What do you say?
Yeah, the overall point of the story was now that you have this quarterback, and it could be Haskins down the line, but whatever quarterback you have, that offense still needs talent. And guys like Paris Campbell, who can take a ball and go 40, 50 yards, make guys miss.
And that's the point Clinton Portis made.
Yeah, on a 3 or 4 yard route and then make guys miss and change the field. Debo Samuel, the same type of player. So I think this offense, a big objective on day two, I like the idea of getting a guard. I like the idea of maybe getting that second safety. But I still think they need to come out of tonight with at least one pass catcher. That could be a tight end. That could be a receiver. But this offense is still not nearly dynamic enough to survive in 2019. So whatever quarterback is starting, they need more options.
Do you want them to trade up into the second? I think for a guy like McCoy, that a lot of talent guys I talked to thought was a first rounder, and he's a plug and play immediate help, that's worth doing. Yeah. I don't think for these wideouts it's worth doing.
Yeah, we've had a lot of guys come on and say how deep this class is, so I think if they remain patient like they did at 15 and see what options are there in that third round at 76, maybe that's how the it works out.
So I want to credit my guy, Don Carnevale, who sent me this list. DK Metcalf, A.J. Brown, Hakeem Butler, Paris Campbell, Deebo Samuel, Emmanuel Hall from Missouri,
yep.
Andy Isabella from UMass, who's a slot guy. I don't think that's the pick. Terry McLaurin is a wideout from Ohio State that I love, that I think could actually be there. What he can do on special teams, I think he could be a really good route runner for you, and he has that familiarity with Dwayne Haskins.
Dwayne Haskins was tweeting about Paris Campbell last night with LeBron James.
They're not going to get Campbell. Campbell with that speed is going to go early. Earlier. Kelvin Harmon, NC State.
Riley Ridley from Georgia.
Kelvin Harmon from NC State is a guy that our Ben Standick has connected with the Skins a bunch. Arcega Whiteside, and then Riley Ridley. I like Deebo Samuel a lot. I don't think he gets to the third round. Trevor, of those guys, or somebody else you want to name, who might be there at 76?
All the wide receivers.
Stick to where they are and just have to draft a guy that I don't want to say falls because some of these guys are third-round talent.
The best guy for the Redskins would be J.J. Arcega-Whiteside out of Stanford. He is a big guy, all-state basketball player coming out of high school, in addition to the Gatorade football player of the year in South Carolina. And he runs precise routes for a college player. He can go up and catch the ball in the red zone like they want. He can use his body to run all kinds of routes, and even when he's covered, make the catch. If he's there, I would take him and not worry about it. The problem is that wide receivers, as rookies, typically struggle to really make a big impact. And another guy that you might want to look at farther down, if you don't want to invest a third rounder in a wide receiver, is Mecole Hardman, Georgia. Out of Georgia. He came as a defensive back to Georgia. He only played 2 years there as a receiver, so he's extremely raw. But he is lightning fast, and he's a fantastic returner, kick and punt returner. So he's the kind of guy that you can coach up to speed and get his routes and his details of running the wide receiver position. And then you've got that guy that's super fast, and you can get him with a lower pick. I think that's really important.
The speed on this team is lacking at all skill spots on offense and defense. So a guy like Hardman, I think, would be a very wise selection for Jake.
Didn't you also tab Montez Sweat is playing both ways? He was going to play wide receiver.
he's
going to be out there all the time.
He came out of high school to Michigan State originally as a tight end.
There you go.
And he ended up transferring down via other things down to Mississippi State. Also consider this, though, that because wide receivers in their rookie year typically don't have a huge impact, some do, most don't, if they're going to invest draft capital to move up to take one of those offensive linemen that they think could be a plug and play, like you mentioned, Eric McCoy out of Texas A&M, JP, and then watch other teams' rosters at the end of training camp for wide receivers that get released because they just have too many of them, but guys that would upgrade the Redskins, you would have a guy that might be a veteran that could plug and play at wide receiver, which I think would be an important thing, and that might be a direction that they may choose to go.
They tried that a little last year with Michael Floyd and a couple other guys that didn't really work out that well.
None of those guys were able to. Signing guys off the street.
But that's what Trevor's bringing up.
Well, no, but out of training camp to another team is not necessarily off the street.
Right. There are teams, not guys that are available week 8.
Yeah.
Okay.
Clearly, there's a need. I like Hakeem Butler. I think his size, his ball skills, there were some drops. Like, you can't deny that there were some ugly drops when he was playing at Iowa State. But I think he's a guy that could help them. They also have needs in the secondary. Safety, corner. What are the chances? I think they're adding somebody from Alabama at some point. There's a strong tendency. What about a guy like Deontay Thompson? Or, you know, there are other safeties. I brought up Thornhill earlier. Mm-hmm. I do think you need a safety to pair because we try to get answers on what's going on with Monte Nicholson. There's no forthcoming answers there.
Yeah.
They don't have anybody to line up next to Landon Collins. Are there any guys there in the third round you like, Trevor?
Not necessarily. I mean, there are guys that can come in and play, but are they better than what they have now? Again, remember, they have a whole slew of young corners that they need to trust. People say they need to get a corner because Josh Norman might not be here. It might be a cap casualty after this
season. Especially that post-June 1 could happen, too.
Right. And so, but they've got guys on the roster that need to step up. Troy Apke is the guy they drafted last year, I believe, right?
Apke.
Yep.
Yeah, hit it for me, Pete. I need to hear it.
Troy Apke, man. He's a second-year player out of Penn State University.
I like
well
it.
Done. Well
Jake Gruden.
He is lightning fast and didn't have a whole lot of starting time at Penn State, so he's another guy with a lot of talent, raw and experience, now going into a second year with the Redskins, and he's a guy they need to trust possibly
like
to step
Taylor
into
Rapp
one of those
too.
Roles.
He makes plays, man.
Taylor Rapp out of the University of Washington is one of the best safeties in the Pac-12.
I don't think he gets the to mid-third, though, do you?
I don't think Juan Thornhill does either, but that dude made a bunch of plays.
I like the corner. I like Julian Love out of Notre Dame. We got a list here that I'm looking at, I'll be honest with you. I would love if they added a Delaware Blue Hen. Everybody loved that Nasir Adderley when we were down in Mobile, and they're talking about he could be a special teams force. We'll see what happens there.
The kid out of Temple, Rock Yao Sin, is a very good cover guy. If you want a guy that can come in and play nickel for you, again, if you think you need another cover.
I mean, because we both think corner run is coming.
Yeah, corners and wide receivers, there's going to be a run in the second round.
Right. Some mocks that
and I think
that
it's right off the top. I think it's happening quick. Greedy hasn't gone yet.
No, Greedy. The thing about Greedy, though, is that there's some question about his tackling.
Right.
His
desire to tackle.
But I'm not so worried about that.
His attitude.
Did Daryl Green, was he a thumper at corner?
No.
Daryl Green played basketball. And guess what? He's a Hall of Famer. And he was awesome.
He also stuck his nose in there when he had to.
He did when he had to. And boy, he stuck his nose. He would fly in there and throw his body in hard when he had to.
And
he
that just, elite speed.
But only when he had to. Right. And so people would downgrade Greedy because
the greatest corner of all time and probably never made a tackle in runs.
Right. I think he just, So I think Greedy
jumped
Williams.
Jumped on some piles.
Right. But Greedy Williams is falling, I think, partly because of that. And I think that's not a fair criticism of him.
What about tight end? We know they had the kid, Kahale Waring, the San Diego State. Very raw prospect, but big. People like the potential. What do you think?
I want a tight end that can block. I'm sick and tired of watching.
Jay Gruden does too.
Redskins, so do the running backs. Adrian Peterson takes the handoff. He heads towards tackle and tight end. And before he takes two steps, the tight end is 2 yards deep in the backfield because he's driven back there by the guy he's trying to block. Now you got to bend around him I'm sick of that because that's been going on here for years. I wanted him to move Ty Insecki to blocking tight end last year. So if they get a tight end, please
talk about a strong side of the line.
Let it be a tight end that can be an asset in blocking because this team next year.
Is Irv Smith from Alabama?
Irv Sternberger?
Smith, he's not that much of a blocker.
That either,
Jay Sternberger out of A&M, also not that much of a blocker. That's the thing. Those guys
don't make them anymore.
Yeah, right? Hawkinson was the only one who could do both. Now you just have more receiving
That's why he
guys.
Went so high.
Right.
Yeah. But at the same time, that's why you draft him lower. So you get a guy that can catch a little bit. You know, but then can give you some blocking.
But that's what Jay hates is when you have the guy who can only catch a little bit and he's on the field, everybody knows a run is coming. But
that's why I catch a little bit. Listen,
tendencies are off the chart.
I had three catches as a tight end with the New York Jets as number 46, right?
Yeah.
I was mostly a blocker. I was almost as
good. What's
your YPC?
I will tell you this, that I am tied for first in NFL history on the ratio of targets to catches among all receivers in the history of the league with a minimum of three catches.
3 for 3%?
Yeah, 3 for 3.
Do you know that when I was a sophomore in high school,
my goodness gracious,
I led the country in three-point shooting percentage?
One for one. There you go.
He did something in the NFL that's way cooler than what he did in high school. So let's pay attention to that.
Was a joke.
But he played a sport that I wish I could have played.
I bet you were better than me.
Here's why I bring it up, though, right? When they were trying to come up and crowd the line, they would just leak me out. I'd catch the ball, and they're like, oh. You know, and if
damn guy,
right, and anybody that they get who's a tight end who can block is going to be more of a threat than I am. Just be a little bit of a threat to make them pay if they crowd the line too much because he's in there.
Yeah.
Then, because this team on offense won't succeed this year because their passing attack is elite. Right? They will succeed because the running attack is elite.
And play great defense.
Right.
We are running out of time. We have 2 minutes. I want to ask two questions to all of you. We start with, will they trade up into the second? And the second question is, what do you want to see happen? What is your dream scenario for Friday night? Pete, you start.
I don't think they'll trade up into the second. I think they're content with the 2 third-rounders. And a dream scenario, one of those talented wide receivers falls to them, and then maybe they
address. Who's your guy? Give us a name.
Hakeem Butler dropping to them. And then safety. I like Juan Thornhill because he's very explosive and athletic, and he can kind of give you that versatility of maybe doing nickel and safety.
Mitchell.
I think they try to trade up if they can give a third and one of those later round picks.
They have 2 fifths, 2 sevenths.
Right, 2 fifths, 2 sevenths, something along there, and they can hopefully Eric McCoy is still available and they can go get somebody like him.
Mitch wants a lineman. Shocker.
Of course, I want a lineman.
I would like to see that. I don't think they'll do it. I think you mentioned a guard out of Penn State, Connor McGovern, who is a plug and play run blocker, needs a lot of coaching when it comes to his pass protection technique. But Bill Callahan can do that. I think they'll take a flyer on a guy like that they know can run block. Trust that they can teach him to pass block and save that extra third round pick.
I don't think there's going to be a trade up. I think they're getting a lineman, and I don't know necessarily what they're going to. I think they want a receiver. They've all talked about it. We'll see who's there. There are some big bodies. I think Kelvin Harmon, I think Hakeem Butler could actually last that long. We all said A for their first round grade.
I said A+.
Thanks for pointing that out.
If only tonight, because there's not two pluses available.
How much of an impact could tonight make if it goes wrong? Like if they reach on a guy. I don't think it can drop that much based on what you do with two third round picks.
No, those third round picks need to be guys that make your team and contribute. They can blow this draft by blowing that. The Redskins ultimately, the Patriots win, not necessarily with the top guys besides Brady. They win with the bottom half of the roster. The Redskins need to build that way.
They got to build that way. As B. Mitch always says, you need 53, not 22. That's important.
Or 54 in your case.
Could be 54.
Indeed. We will be back on Monday with one more stream to wrap up the whole draft. Thank you very much for watching.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chantilly Toyota. Let's ride together.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees? Check. Loaner cars and free car washes? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman, Kia of Alexandria. Let's ride together.